Turn to 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. We're going to read verses 29 through 34 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 through 34. I want to preach a sermon tonight called Lessons from the Life of Solomon. Lessons from the Life of Solomon. I think if you'll listen to me tonight, I can really help you in a very special way. 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 through 34. And again, let's read responsively. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman the and Chalcol, and Dardra, the sons of Machol, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 5,000. And he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that spareth out of the wall, that springeth out of the wall. I'm sorry. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, for all the kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. Help us for the next 30, 35 minutes as we look into the life of one of the men in the Bible that you chose. And I pray that you'd help us to open our minds, our hearts, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have read the Bible a good bit in my life. I do not claim to know everything there is to know about the Bible. Say why? God wrote it. That's why. I'm not God. I think I can say I probably know it better than the average person. I've dedicated a lot of my life to this book right here. I really think, though, that it's unfair how we represent people in the Bible. I think you need to realize, as you read the Bible, these aren't characters in a fairy tale. These are real people. I think it's also unfair that preachers have mispreached the words of God. So many times you'll hear somebody say, well, David is saying here, David didn't say anything. God wrote it before there ever was a David. Well, Solomon says here, Solomon didn't say it. God said it before there ever was a Solomon. Well, Paul says here, Paul didn't say it. Matthew didn't say it. Mark didn't say it. Well, we know this because this is in Paul's style. No, God wrote the whole thing. So be careful listening, and I'm not saying that everybody that says that's a heretic, but they're going to take a different splash and humanize the Bible differently than the way God intended. But as you read the Bible, it seems to me that we lift up great people, and we don't realize that some of the great people we lift up have more flaws than the people we don't like. Listen to this for a second. The Bible has not changed in all these years. Now, man has tried to rewrite it, but the Bible has not changed. Seems that we pick and choose what we want in the Bible, and we accept what we want to accept and throw out what we do not want to accept, and we choose what we want and what we don't want. To me, Solomon is one of those people in the Bible. If I took a little poll as you walked in tonight and said, put Solomon's name down and put positive or negative, there'd probably be about 85% votes negative or more. Most everybody in here has a negative approach to Solomon. You say, well, he had 700 wives, 300 concubines. He followed the false gods. Yes, he did. But that's only one part of his life. Let me ask you a question. Did Solomon ever murder anybody? Now, if I put David's name on that list, you'd put David over Solomon. But David murdered. If I put Moses' name on that list, you'd put Moses above Solomon. But Moses murdered a man with his own two hands. If I had to put the Apostle Paul's name on there, you'd all said, oh, much greater than Solomon, and yet the Apostle Paul was known for murdering Christians. So three people in the Bible that you lift up greater than Solomon were, I hate using this term, worse sinners than Solomon? Everybody doing okay? Now hang in there, we're going somewhere. Before you shut me off, let's see what God says about Solomon. You see, most of you look at Solomon and think of some young man with a lot of charisma that did well, let the charisma go to his head, and when he became older, got too powerful, got too rich, and let the power go to his head, and became a vile scoundrel, and that is not what Solomon's life was about. Now listen to me. I better get this. Most of you believe the Bible and read the Bible almost like gossip. You look for that negative and you'll hold on to the negative and forget the rest of the person's life. We're almost guilty, Brother Rich, of believing negative and gossip in the Word of God. I did not say those things were not in there. But aren't you glad God doesn't look at you that way? You see, you believe it's wrong for people to gossip. You believe it's wrong for somebody to listen to all the negative. But what's your opinion of Solomon? You see, you've listened to people run down his reputation. You've read things that marred his reputation, and you believe it. I didn't say they weren't true, but you won't allow the rest of his life to shine through. Now, we spend more time on his negative than what God says about Solomon. Did you ever think about that? Probably more negative sermons about Solomon than any other great person in the Bible. Tonight, I want to show you six lessons from the life of Solomon. Before you turn me off, remember, I didn't say them. God did. Remember, I didn't write it. God did. I'm just the messenger. I'm just the delivery boy. By the way, yes, he had some blemishes, but his whole life was not a blemish. He obviously had some good points. There were obviously good things in his life. Everybody look at me for just a second here. If he came to Grace Baptist Church here in Martinsburg and he sat in our pews, you'd want me to defend him. You wouldn't want me to preach about all his negatives, just like you don't want me to preach about all your negatives. I will do for King Solomon what I would expect us to do for any other Christian on the face of the earth. And I'll show you what God says. Lesson number one. You ready? The Bible says Solomon had great wisdom. Solomon had great wisdom. Now, we read in 1 Kings 4. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart even as the sand is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. I didn't say that. God did. Now, I spent probably 22, 24 weeks teaching on the topic of wisdom on Wednesday nights. Best definition I know of wisdom is the ability to see life as God sees it. Viewing life from the eyes and the perspective of God. Now listen to this. Listen to this statement. God said Solomon saw life from his point of view better than any man on the face of the earth. I didn't say that. God did. Before you criticize him, why don't we see what God sees about Solomon? You see, there is a verse in the book of Job that says great men or wise men are not always wise. Did you know that wise people are not perfect? Did you know that wise people sometimes make mistakes? So don't you think it's possible, since Solomon was a sinner, he was going to make some mistakes? But the Bible says Solomon viewed life through the eyes of God better than any human alive. I don't know about you, I would have liked to have met King Solomon. Matter of fact, we read in verse 34 that there were people from every country in the world, every leader in the world came to sit at Solomon's feet to learn from him. We read in verse 33, it's kind of interesting. Verse 32 says, and he spake 3,000 proverbs. And his songs were 1,005. He wrote 3,000 proverbs. He wrote 1,005 songs, verse 33. And he spake of trees. In other words, he had an understanding of botany like none other. Even under the talks about the cedar and the hyssop springing out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fish. Wow. He had a very vast array of knowledge. And people came from all over the world to view and to get some of Solomon's wisdom. Now, Solomon asked God, when he became king, God said, Solomon, whatever you ask, I'll give you. If you want riches, I'll give it to you. If you want fame, I'll give it to you. He said, no, don't want it. Just give me wisdom. I'm not able to lead your people. I need to lead them as you would lead them. And God, please give me wisdom. God said, Solomon, because you didn't ask for fame, because you did not ask for wealth, I'll give you wisdom in abundance. And because of that, I'll give you the fame and I will give you the wealth. I heard some preacher get up and say, Solomon should have never been so wealthy. God never intended God's people to be that wealthy, and it was his fault that he went into sin and did this and did that. It's all his fault. Hey, God gave him that, not Solomon. Solomon didn't seek it. God did. That's right. By the way, did you ever notice in the book of Ecclesiastes it says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I had this, I built this, I did that, I built this, I had that. All is vanity, vexation of spirit. Everybody thinks Solomon had spent all his money on all those vain things. Listen to this statement. Man, when that thing shuts off, it's like E.F. Hutton, everything stopped, amen? Listen to this. Do you know why he said all is vanity? And vexation of spirit, because he was looking at it from God's point of view. Solomon had all of these things. Solomon wasn't looking at those things saying, I've done all this and it does not satisfy. He said, it doesn't matter what you have. Whether you have a lot or a little, that is the most important thing. Amen. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. See, when you start viewing life through the eyes of God, riches take a back seat. Wealth takes a back seat. Fame takes a back seat. Other than Wednesday night church, I think it's the first five-day period in a long time I've gone somewhere and people didn't know who I was. I'm not kidding. I don't remember the last time. I went down to Miami, Florida for my son's wedding. And there was people in the church down there that knew me. I'll be honest with you, I didn't even remember them. I had people that sat in my Bible college classes that I taught that were there. I went to Miami, I mean, as far south as you can go. Any farther, we were close to the beach because we got lost, but not because we were going with Mrs. Brining. You'll have to ask her about that one, Casey. Solomon understood the futility of things. It wasn't that he had tried them all and he was empty. He was wise enough to see all of his money, all of his fame, all of his things. That's not why he had them. He was looking at it from God's perspective, not man's perspective. So Solomon had great wisdom. He had greater wisdom than any human alive, before or since. Number two, I love this. I think this is one of the sweetest things in Scripture. The Bible says in 1 Kings 4, verse 29, God gave Solomon, right in the middle there, largeness of heart. Largeness of heart. Do you know that Solomon loved very deeply? Solomon had this, I'll use a teen word, ginormous ability to love. The Bible says that Solomon's heart was in largeness, was like all of the grains of sand on the seashore. Now that's a lot. By the way, he loved deeply because he saw people as God saw people. He saw people as God saw people. He had an ability to love. And by the way, I'm going out on a limb. You don't have to agree with this statement. I cannot find this statement in Scripture. I think I could prove it to you by principle. But listen to this statement. I believe part of Solomon's addiction to women was because of his huge heart. His ability to love and his desire to love people. I did not say he exercised it properly. By the way, it doesn't make it right what he did. I know men who, I say this, they love almost to a fault. Brother Hiles was that way. Brother Hiles would let people chew him up, spit him up, be negative, critical, and he paid their salaries. Yes, sir. That's right. He paid people salaries who were disloyal to him. Yes, sir. I'm not paying anybody's salary who's disloyal to me. Amen. Now, Brother Hiles did, and it caused the church to split a couple times. And I heard him in his latter years say, you know what? I think I was tolerant almost to a fault. And he was. That's not a critical statement. Just shows the largeness of the man's heart. I also watched tears run down his face as he said, though that man was disloyal to me, his children were on our schools. His wife relied on that man's salary, and I didn't think it fair to hurt his wife and children over his sin. So I can take it. That's a big heart. That's a big heart. Solomon had a huge heart. Solomon had wisdom. Solomon had a large heart. That doesn't mean the organ inside his chest going like this. But he had a great capacity to love. Would to God we had a big capacity to love. Let me ask you a question. Could God look at you and say, you're wise? Could God look at you and say, you have largeness of heart, not largeness of waist, but largeness of heart? Number three, I love this. Did you know that God had a nickname for Solomon? God had a nickname for Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, you need not turn there, but I'm going to read three different verses to you. It says, the words of the preacher, capital P on preacher, proper noun, speaking of somebody specifically. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. That's Solomon. The very next verse, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Verse 12 says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. Do you know that God called Solomon preacher? That was a term of endearment. Many of you call me preacher, pastor, preacher, whichever it may be. And I understand that. And by the way, I never take it lightly. Brother Gus, I remember a phone call you and I had one night. The week we were getting ready to start this church, I had called nobody. I still don't know how you found out, because I called nobody. Not one person. He asked me a few questions. I answered his questions. He said, all right, preacher, I'll see you Sunday. I don't know if you knew this, Brother Gus, but my knees got weak. I went downstairs. I walked into my office in my basement. And I got on my face and began to weep like a baby. I had never been called that in all my life. Never. I can't tell you how humbled I was. I still am. That title, just, it's overwhelming to me. And I don't ask anybody. I'm not asking for you to call me that. There are some that can do it very quickly. Others, you may never do it. And that's okay. I only ever called two other people that in my life. Just so you know. That's not a term I just throw out there. I know how deep of a term that is. But can I tell you something? God called Solomon preacher. Before you criticize Solomon, look what God called him. By the way, that was after 700 wives and 300 concubines. A term of endearment. A term of love. God and Solomon were close. God and Solomon were close. I must hurry. Number four. Are you ready? Everybody smile for a second. Breathe deep. All right, here we go. Number four. God chose Solomon to be king after David. You say, yeah, we already know that, preacher, but I don't think you understand something. Did you realize that Solomon was not David's firstborn son? And according to the lineage, it should have been the oldest son of David that should have been king of Israel. Solomon was not he. I'll go a step farther. Do you know who Solomon's mother was? Bathsheba. Solomon was the first child born to David and Bathsheba after the baby conceived in adultery had died. The very relationship that you get mad at David about, God used Bathsheba's son to be the next king of Israel. Doesn't that give you hope? Doesn't that excite you? Doesn't matter what your lineage is, God can use you. Doesn't matter what your background, God can use you. You may have been conceived in sin. All of us were. God can use you. Can I tell you something else? You go to the book of Matthew, you'll find out. Solomon was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. The human lineage of Jesus travels back through Solomon and David, all the way back to Abraham, etc., etc. And it goes through Solomon, whose mama was Bathsheba. Everybody doing okay? Huh. Most of you would have been upset with David because of Bathsheba, and you would have never thought anything good came out of that after that baby died. God said, you're going to have another one, David. That's the one. By the way, after King David died, if you go to the book of 1 Kings, you'll find out one of David's other sons set up as king in Israel. Solomon had the right to the throne given to him by David, but one of the other sons set up, and Solomon just backed off. He didn't want to cause conflict. God struck him down and said, no, I chose you. Get in there and go do it. And he did. I said this before, I'll say it again. Because Solomon asked for wisdom, God gave him his wealth. God gave him his fame. Did you know that Solomon did not go seeking wealth? Not once. God brought it to him. God opened the door for it to happen. I've been reading a lot lately. I constantly read. But I've kind of picked up two or three biographies on Henry Ford. Henry Ford was an amazing man. If you ever want to read something interesting, read, there's a book called My Life and Work by Henry Ford. It's an autobiography. Before you criticize somebody, read their own words, not what somebody else says about them. Henry Ford, when he died, was worth, in the 1950s, I think it's somewhere in the ballpark of $586 billion, over $500 billion, back in the 50s. He's one of the 10 wealthiest people in world history. I'm talking world history, not American history. An amazing man, lived a very simple life. He said, money is nothing. Don't worry, the kids didn't tie up the nursery workers. Henry Ford was an amazing man, and money didn't mean much to him. It really didn't. You say, yeah, it wouldn't mean much to me if I had that much either. No, really, it wasn't. It was a tool for him. And his whole goal was to make it so that more people had a better life standard. That's all it was for. Now, listen to this statement very carefully. Henry Ford didn't go looking for money. It came to him. He knew how to make it and invested it back in the people that made it for him. How many of you have ever gotten a profit sharing from where you worked before? Raise your hand. You know that started with Henry Ford? Nobody had ever gotten a profit sharing before, ever, in American history. Ford Motor Company started making tractors, planes, boats. Man, he delved into everything. You say, why? He was trying to help as many people as he could help. He hired blind people to work in the factory. He hired deaf people to work in the factory. He had two people that worked for him that were blind and deaf at the same time. and paid them a salary to work. Everybody doing okay? Huh. I wonder why God trusted him with so much money, because he was able to help so many people with it. Now, before you get mad at him for being so rich, realize God gave him his riches. I must hurry. I've got 6 minutes and two things left. Lesson number five. I'm about to shout. God used Solomon to build a house of God. God used Solomon to build the house of God. By the way, not his father David. David was, according to God, the man after God's own heart. He was a warrior. And because David was a murderer, because David was a man that had killed, God said, David, you're not worthy to build my house. Listen to this. He said, but I'll let your son do it. David helped design the plans Solomon used to build the house of God. I don't know about you, but I have a certain respect for church builders. By the way, listen to this statement. This is the very temple spot where one day Jesus will come back after the 7 years tribulation and rule and reign this on this earth, and that's where we will rule and reign with Jesus. In that temple, on that spot where Solomon built the temple. Muslims might have it now, but I know somebody bigger going to kick them out, amen? They're laughing in God's face right now, but when he boots them off the throne and Jesus sits there, look out, it's coming. By the way, Solomon made sure the house of God was built before he built his own home. Now, Solomon built a beautiful palace. Solomon built a very wonderful place to live. He had the wherewithal to do it. He had an ivory throne. Think through that one once. He had a throne that was totally made out of pure ivory. Then it was overlaid with gold. It was quite ornate. It was, my grandma would call it fancy schmancy. Not sure if that's a bad word or not. If it is, I'm in trouble. I don't think it is because grandma said it. But God used Solomon to build the house of God. Wow. Before you run your mouth down on Solomon, realize what God thought about him. Well, I don't think God can use rich people. You know, God can use rich people as well as poor people. God wants to use everybody. He doesn't care how much money you got in your wallet. And God doesn't only use rich people and not poor people. He uses all people that are willing to be used. And I've got to hurry and finish with this. Point number six. This is sweet. God used Solomon to pen three books of the Bible. God used Solomon to be the secretary to take down three books of the Bible and write them word from the mouth of God. So what are those books? Book Proverbs, Book of Ecclesiastes, and the Book of the Song of Solomon. If he was such a bad guy, why would God use him to write the words of God? You realize between Solomon, David, Moses, and the Apostle Paul, three of those were murderers. One had 700 wives and 300 concubines, substitutes, 700 mother-in-laws. That's not exercising wisdom. Can you imagine how many pantyhose were hanging in those bathrooms? Lord have mercy. I can't imagine what Solomon had to go through. It's his own dumb fault. By the way, these weren't Solomon's words. They were God's words. The book of Proverbs are not Solomon's words. They're God's words. The book of Ecclesiastes are not Solomon's words. They're God's words. The book of the Song of Solomon, by the way, you married couples ought to read the book of Song of Solomon and read it as a married couple. I know. I've heard all the liberals. Oh, I believe in the shepherd's theory. I believe in this is Solomon and he's chasing number 180 whatever wife this is. And he should have never done this. That's when you look at it as a humanistic person instead of the way God wrote it. Quit perverting scripture. God wrote it, not Solomon. By the way, all three of these books of the Bible are books of wisdom and love. Wisdom and love. God gave Solomon wisdom and exceeding largeness of heart. Wonder why God trusted those books to a guy with 700 wives. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I don't think he was probably that good looking. I think he probably did know how to love, though. I'm done. Let's not look at the Bible as man having written it. Let's try to quit looking at the life of Solomon and say, well, Solomon meant here. No, Solomon didn't write it. God did. God did. And before you criticize him, realize what God said about him. He had great wisdom. He had a huge heart. God had a nickname, Preacher, for him. God chose him to be the king after David. God used Solomon to build the house of God. God used Solomon to pen three books of the Bible. Yeah, but his 700 wives turned his heart against God. Yes, when he was an old man just before he died. Solomon was within just a few years of dying when his heart turned, just so you know. Didn't happen early. Was Solomon wise always? No, no human being is. But he had more wisdom. He had the ability to see life as God sees it better than any other human on the face of the earth, in spite of all his flaws. And God raised up a child. After the adultery between David and Bathsheba and the murder of Bathsheba's husband Uriah by King David, and the very next child born to her became the next king of Israel. And his name was Solomon. He's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Maybe instead of listening to all the negative, we ought to see what God says about him. I'm a firm believer in this. Don't write somebody's biography till their life is over.
Well, I got a kid and he's in his 30s and he's a mess and God can't use him and God's...
You don't know. You don't know. Arlene, I think you said you were 37 when you got saved. Aren't you glad somebody wasn't trying to write your biography in your mid-30s? You know, sometimes we want to write everybody's biography by what they're doing right now. Let's wait and see the whole life. Isn't that what justice is all about? We've listened to Mr. Schofield too much. Solomon says here. Trash. We listen to these Bible scholars, theologians. We're going to go deep into the Word of God. Gag. Can't even say it. It's God, not God. He doesn't spell his name G-A-W-D, God.
Well, I'll I'll show you the deeper thing. No, God said he's got gave us the Holy Spirit. If you get saved, God will show you the same things he's showing me. Has nothing to do with the depth. Has everything to do with the authority. I didn't say Solomon was perfect. By the way, neither are you and I. We're not. We're sinners. Brother Taylor, I think it was you. I think we were on the trip and you learned that I wasn't perfect. You had some guy tell you that you were talking to that your preacher wasn't perfect either. I was so glad to hear one of our men spat up and said, "Preacher, you've said that an awful lot." Yep. I don't even know who the guy was. Didn't matter. I'd have gone shaking his hand, told him, "You're right. I'm a sinner just like you are. Now, I'm going to heaven. Where are you going?" I don't claim to be perfect. I knew it was Mrs. Eckerd and Mrs. Brining. No. And honestly, it didn't matter who. I just know this. Guess what? None of us are. Not too long ago, somebody said, I'd come visit your church, but I've heard you got a bunch of hypocrites go there. I said, "Hypocrites? What do you mean?" "Yeah, I knew them, and they're pretty bad sinners." I said, "You're right. Our church is a hospital, not a museum. We're not putting people on display. We're just trying to help everybody we can help." I said, "By the way, there's no nail prints there. I'm not God." I said, "If you come, this preacher's a sinner just like you are." I said, "I'm not afraid to tell you that." "Well, I'm not going to your church. I'm going to go somewhere where the preacher's not a sinner." I said, "You're not going to church then." I said, "I don't care if you go to Vatican City and walk into the Pope's bedroom." I said, "He's probably the worst of all sinners because he thinks he is God." That went over like a lead balloon. They looked at me and I said, "Don't worry, God won't strike me dead. He feels the same way about it as I do." "Oh, I never." I said, "That's your problem." I wasn't being unkind. Folks, let's quit criticizing people in the Bible. Let's take what God said about them, use it. Were they perfect? No, but neither are you and I. They're not storybook heroes. They're real people. Had a real life. Just like you and me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder. Solomon gave virtually everything he had in his life over to God. What are you holding back on? Maybe God wants to use you to help build this church. You've got people you can reach. Maybe God wants to give you more wisdom, but you got to get yourself out of the way. Maybe God wants you to lead. Whatever area it is, will you let God have control of it?